This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to worship this morning on this World Communion Sunday. This tradition was begun by Presbyterians in, I believe, 1939, and over time other denominations have joined in, so that now it is an ecumenical tradition that is celebrated all around the world. And you'll see, when it comes time for communion, that there are a variety of breads from all over the world to remember our brothers and sisters in Christ who are worshiping in different ways, some in difficult circumstances, all over the world this day. I have a few announcements to point out to you. First, there should be a flyer in your inside your bulletin with Syria in big letters. This is about a study that we will be offering on the Syrian refugee crisis. The Presbytery of Wyoming has a sister church, a partner church in Aleppo, and the Presbytery is working to continue to build that relationship and discover ways to be helpful and supportive of that church in the midst of its difficulty. And so this four-part study is being offered across the presbytery to help us all understand better what is going on there. So I hope you will join us for any of these or all of these. It would be great to have you. Also in the announcements, today the Laramie Ministerial Association we'll be having the blessing of the animals at the Ivinson Mansion on the East Lawn. That is always a lot of fun. If you have an animal, you can bring it. If you don't and you miss having an animal and would like to enjoy someone else's, that's also a great opportunity for that. It is a lovely time of blessing, both for the animals and all those involved. And Thursday evening, there will be an evening circle, an evening Bible study for women beginning at 7 o'clock. If you have questions that aren't answered in that announcement, you can see Nikki Rogers. And I forgot to point out to our visitors that there is a green folder in the pew pocket in front of you that says welcome. Has more information about the congregation here, and in particular, there is a welcome card or a visitor card that gives you an opportunity to give us your contact information so that we can be in touch with you, and you can place it in the offering plate later during the offering. Now, one last somewhat foolish announcement, but it is important. Today, or this week, is National Fire Safety Week. And so in honor of National Fire Safety Week, I thought I would point out the emergency exits. Because just like in an airplane, often the exit closest to you is one that you don't recognize. So there are two in the back, one over here by the piano, one on your way out of the overflow room, and one on beyond the overflow room on out to the street. All right, so turn your head around and look at the exits where they are so you know where they are located in case they, in the unlikely event of an emergency. Thank you. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the introit.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship. In the midst of war and division, we wait for God. In the midst of devastation and loss, we wait for God. In the midst of change and uncertainty, we wait for God. Please stand and join me, hymn number, page 39, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Please join me in the call to confession. We turn to God in praise and prayer, not from a position of power and strength, but from the broken edges of our lives. From the broken edges of the world and the church, we offer our prayers a confession, trusting in the one who is reconciling all things. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Sovereign God, we confess that we have not turned away from sin. We worry about hope is lost and forget the promises of your love. We take the gift of faith for granted and fail to keep your commandments. Forgive us, God of grace. Help us, by your Holy Spirit, to hold fast to the teachings of your word and guard the treasures entrusted to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
God in Christ Jesus grants us grace, mercy, and peace. Let us hold to the sound teaching of the faith that God has the power to save us and has given us grace through all the ages. We receive the treasure of faith entrusted to us. With the help of the Holy Spirit living in us, thanks be to God. After his resurrection, the risen Christ greeted his disciples, saying, "Peace be with you." As his faithful disciples, let us share signs of peace. The peace of the Lord be with you. Peace be with you.
Will the children please join me? Good morning, everybody. How are you guys? I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Yeah. Good weekend so far? Everybody's good today? Thank you for coming up. So I have something in this jar. These are mustard seeds. I'm going to show you just how tiny they are. So put out your hands. So those are mustard seeds. They're some of the tiniest seeds around. So a lot of people, there are people who wear mustard seeds in a little pendant, in a little piece of, little like cup of glass and a necklace around their neck to show their faith in God. Do you know why?
No.
Yeah. It's kind of, it seems like a funny thing, right? So in the Bible, there's a story where Jesus was with his disciples and one of his disciples said, "Lord, grow our faith." And Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can do great things. His example was you could tell that tree, the tree in front of them, to uproot itself and move to the sea, and it could do it. That seems like an odd thing to try and have to do if you have a lot of faith. But I don't think that's exactly what Jesus was telling them they should use their faith for. I think the point is that it doesn't demand on how great. Isn't it great faith to provide to produce great results? Just having a little bit of faith, like that little tiny mustard seed in your hand, is enough faith in God for God to do great things. We're not going to do the great things. We just have to have the faith that the Lord is going to do the great things for us. Okay? So remember that we can do great things with our faith in the Lord, even if it's tiny, 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 because that's all it needs, and the Lord will work for us. Right? Okay, let's say a prayer. Dear Father, we ask for mustard seed-sized faith. Help us to believe and never doubt your mighty power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, thanks. You can go back to your seat, or if you're in kindergarten, come with me.
Please listen for the prayer of illumination. Holy God, through Christ Jesus, you bring the light of the gospel into our lives as grace revealed. Help us to guard this treasure and to share it with others, too, so that the faith that has lived in our ancestors and now lives in us may come in life in every new generation. We pray with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. Your first reading comes from Lamentations 3, 16 through 26. The thought of my affliction and my homeliness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Please join me in the anthem, As You Were.
Thank you. Last week, we heard from the wise mentor of Timothy about the disciplines or the idea that for faith to be sustained, to not be shipwrecked, that there were building blocks and disciplines and practices that strengthen our faith. So this week, we begin following Jesus through the Gospel of Luke as he reveals what those practices, what those building blocks of faith are. Let us listen to God's word to us this day from Luke chapter 17. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Go ahead. You can say it. That was just weird. Right? The disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith, and Jesus talks about a mustard seed, planting a mulberry tree in the sea, and the interaction between a slave and his master. It's weird. And it's okay to say that. But that doesn't mean that we can skip over it or go around it. So perhaps if we look back a couple of verses ahead of where our lectionary reading actually begins, perhaps that'll help us out. Well, when we do that, we realize that we are tuning into the middle of Jesus teaching his disciples. This teaching might be best summarized as, "Don't be like the Pharisees." The preceding chapters show that the Pharisees have little regard for little ones and sinners, the weak and those who are pushed to the margin. They're more interested in recognition and status rather than faith. Remember a few weeks ago? "It's my party." Yeah, the Pharisees, who were feeling displaced. They were angry about losing their status. Our reading begins with the disciples asking for more faith. And in the previous verses that we did not read, Jesus has been clear that they must forgive those who repent 7 times a day if necessary. That would be a good reason to ask for more faith. Forgiving 7 times a day, day after day, that is hard work. There's a thread woven through Luke's 2-volume work of Luke Acts. The thread he weaves is that when people hear about Jesus, they don't just hear. There's a response that's required. Not simply a nod of assent, but a response of faith. Faith demonstrated in service to God's redemptive work. So if we use Luke's lens of service, not status, as we read this odd text, does it help bring it into clearer focus? It appears that Jesus is saying to the disciples that it only takes a little bit of faith to do something pretty big and showy, like telling a tree to uproot and go plant in the sea. But the odd parable that follows says that that's not what faith is for. It's for service. And service is work. Faith is not a status awarded to accomplish showy, spectacular things. It's work. The master doesn't interrupt the slave's work to invite the slave to sit at the master's table. That would be a drastic elevation of the slave's status. The slave isn't working in order to improve his status. He serves because there is work to be done. These lines about not thanking the slave and worthless slaves feel very uncomfortable for us because we see slavery so differently than those of the first century. But keep in mind, Jesus does not place himself above the disciples in this regard. Jesus came to serve, and he says so. I am among you as one who serves. So anyone desiring to follow him should be willing to do the same. Faith is work. It can be hard, forgiving over and over. But it is in daily working out our faith. When we live what we say we believe, that is when our faith grows. Faith is not for status. It's for service. Service alongside the one who came to serve, to reconcile and redeem the world. Each year, the Peace and Global Witness offering that the church takes, which we took last Sunday, provides many stories of those who are working as peacemakers, those who are living out their faith. They are beautiful examples of brothers and sisters in Christ who have looked at a situation in front of them, a tree that needs to be moved, and begin working out their faith as a disciple of Jesus Christ. They serve as the one who came to serve, joining God's redemptive work, living out reconciliation. A few years ago, the story of a group of women in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, the DRC, particularly captured my attention. In the eastern part of the DRC, conflict continues to rage, even though the civil war in that country officially ended in 2003. More than 6 million lives have been lost, and terror can strike communities at any moment. Gang rapes are common, as is the conscription of child soldiers. So, a delegation from the Protestant women in Ituri had had enough. They were weary of the atrocities war had inflicted on their communities. So they decided to visit the hiding place of rebel leader Cobra Matata and asked him to lay down his arms. "We have come to tell you that we are fed up with the war." That's what delegation leader Nima Androsi told him. Can you imagine seeking out a militia leader where he's hiding to say, "We are fed up with your war"? But they did. Matata was amazed by their courage, but the women walked away with no assurances the militia would cease hostilities. More than a year later, Nima, accompanied by the community chief and his staff, paid another visit to Matata, past burning villages that reminded them of the horrors they wanted to stop. The militia leader listened to their appeal but would not commit to peace. 2 weeks later, they visited again with the same result. But one day, 20 months after their first visit, Matata announced he was ready to lay down his arms. In anticipation of his surrender, the Protestant women gathered for worship and prayer not far from where Matata was hiding. Moments later, he and many of his militia members gave themselves up to the Congolese army. Matata's surrender did not end the hostilities in the eastern DRC. There are more rebel groups that continue to fight for the control of land in order to gain access to its vast mineral wealth and avenge ethnic strife. Yet Nima Androsi and others continue to have faith. They continue to work for peace in the DRC. Faith is for service. A couple of weeks ago, Linda Haynes shared in A Minute for Mission the story of Craig Rockenbach. Craig faced the tremendous challenge of re-entering the workforce, carrying the stigma of a criminal conviction. Craig had a tree that needed to be moved, an obstacle. Employers are skeptical of ex-offenders, and without a job, another criminal conviction and more jail time is statistically likely. Craig sought the help of the Inside Out Reentry Community, a program that offers job assistance, mentoring, and other resources for those returning from incarceration in Iowa City, Iowa. His experience with Inside Out helped him land a job as a housekeeper in a downtown Iowa City hotel. He was thrilled by the opportunity. It might be a small thing, but it's programs like this that give people a second chance, he says. First Presbyterian Church of Iowa City helps people like Craig move obstacles through their support of the Inside Out Reentry Community. Faith is not for status. Faith is for service. 15 years ago, after serving as a soldier in the Iraq War, the Reverend Matthew Fricker felt compelled to return to Iraq. In his own words, "I could feel God calling me back." Fricker, an associate pastor at John McMillan Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, was among 8 members of the Iraq Partnership Network who traveled to Iraq. The network is a Presbyterian group whose members share an interest in building relationships with Iraqi Christians and sharing in mutual ministry with them. The group visited the 3 small Presbyterian congregations that remain in Iraq. Since 2003, hundreds of thousands of Christians have fled the country to escape the war, the devastation left in its wake, and intense persecution at the hands of ISIS. Fricker was deeply moved by what he experienced in Iraq. "I sat with people and we talked about families, war, rebuilding, and hope for a brighter future. We talked about reconciliation in partnership. We talked with passion about unity and peace. What I received from the people I met was healing. It was true love." Fricker's dream is to get more Iraqi war veterans involved. He is reaching out to veterans and wants to connect them with Iraqi Presbyterians through texts, emails, and possibly through visits. True healing and peace can come out of these kinds of conversations, these kinds of partnerships, these kinds of visits, he says. Any setting where strangers become friends, where brokenness is mended, all of that is part of God's work of reconciliation. Faith is for service. From the global to the local to the personal, We each carry situations and experiences with us that make us want to cry to the Lord, "This is just too hard." Or, as the disciples said, "Increase our faith." But when we do that, Jesus does not scold or berate us. He says, "I know it's hard. It's work." Jesus also redirects our focus from "I don't have enough faith" to remembering what faith is for. What trees or obstacles need to be moved? What do you want to change? What do you want to make happen? Where could you join God's work of redemption and reconciliation? Jesus says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could. What could it be? Friends, faith is not for our comfort or for our status. It is for service. Service to our servant Lord and his mission of redemption and reconciliation. How will you use yours? To the glory of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Please turn to page 35 at the front of your hymnal, not number 35, but page 35, as we affirm our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. In gratitude to God, let us give of our tithes, our offerings, and our lives. Let us pray. God of all good gifts, you bless us with so much to share. Use the gift of our money and the gifts of our lives to bring your healing and hope, your justice and peace to our neighbors near and far. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, this is the joyful feast of unity. Christ has gathered his people around the earth to commune at this table, across political lines and economic lines, in places of powerfully protected privilege, and among the poorest of the poor. We share a meal, remembering and celebrating the one who is the Prince of Peace, who proved shalom to be possible. So come. You from the east and you from the west. You from the north and from the south. Come. Come with your doubts. Come with your hopes. Come with your inadequacies and with your strengths. Come, for this is the Lord's table, and our Savior invites all who trust him to join in the feast that he has prepared. Let us give our thanks to God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Great God of creation, from the soil of the earth, you have formed us in your image. We are a symphony of languages, a mosaic of customs, and a medley of flavors. We are your grand design and desire for humanity. We remember that at creation you brought life out of chaos and began the great act of salvation. You created a wild and beautiful world, drawing up mountains and laying out plains, a world dripping with humid jungle and scorched with parched desert. You created a world of enough. You fed us manna and quail in the desert, bread and fish with leftovers at the seaside. By your word, you fed us the bread of life and offered us living water. And in your presence at this table, we stand as recipients of these gracious acts of shalom. You created a world of compassion. You mandated jubilee. You dared our enemies to throw stones if they could find no sin within. You hear our ugly thoughts and still call us beloved. For all these things, we praise you, joining our voices to the whole company of heaven who sing together. Holy Spirit of life and unity, through this simple meal, draw us together. Renew our minds, reframe our thoughts, and reorient our hearts to beat with the rhythm of our call to shalom making. Reshape our understanding so that when we remember Jesus, we remember him as he was, rather than as we want him to be. Help us to see that on the night before his death, as Jesus took bread among his friends, after giving thanks, he blessed it and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, silenced, interned, interrogated, relocated, exiled, excluded, and executed. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup and passed it among his friends, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood, blood shed in war and in the struggle for daily life, blood that carries a story of love accumulated and passed forward through generations, blood that flows with compassion and forgiveness for you and for all people. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Gracious host, send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and cup, that as we share in bread and cup, we might be united in the ministry of shalom making with all believers across space and time. Now we join our voices with brothers and sisters around the world, praying the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we, many as we are one body. For it is one loaf of which we partake. And when we break the bread, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? When we give thanks over the cup, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? Friends, the Apostle Paul reminds us that when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. This morning we will serve by intinction, which means you can come down the center aisle, and because it is World Communion Sunday, there are a variety of breads and chips and crackers from which to choose in order to remember our brothers and sisters around the world. And then there will be someone with the cup for you to dip that in the cup. There is a gluten-free station right here in the corner for those who might need it. serve you all when you return. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks that you have made us one in the body and blood of Christ our Lord. Send us forth in the power of your Spirit to proclaim the peace of Christ and share your reconciling love through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Out into the world as God's beloved children with just a mustard seed of faith to serve our servant Lord. As you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.